So, what do we need to talk about? Well, Ron's finished up talking about what pleased the Lord, and I'm going to read a verse that I'm sure all of you are aware of, but I'm going to take a look at it from a little different perspective. The verse is 2 Timothy 2:15, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved, as in pleasing, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We often dwell on the last portion of that, rightly dividing. I'm going to spend time today looking at the word ashamed, or not to be ashamed, with the purpose in mind of who might have reason to be ashamed for their activities, their habits, their behaviors, especially if they were made public. I mean, it's one thing to stand before the Lord and think that you'll be ashamed for some of the things that you've done, but to be publicly outed, if you will, and I'm sure I would be called out for the fact that I may not necessarily be politically correct. The majority of people would not approve of my conservative perspective. I'm not answering to them. I'm answering to God. My hope is that I would not be ashamed, for I am hopefully walking worthy as a workman. But what could cause shame? And I'm sure that each of you could probably think of some things that you might be ashamed of. Maybe a parent pointed a crooked finger at you and said, "Shame on you," and, you know, shook that finger at you. But biblically, we have lots of people who probably could be ashamed of their actions. We know that Adam and Eve, for instance, they were knew no shame, but then were ashamed because they were naked. Moses was ashamed because he murdered an individual and ran, so we knew that he was ashamed of that. He was afraid of the consequences. We also know that he struck a stone twice when he was told just to talk to it. And then that led to wandering 40 years in the wilderness. And while he was faithful in that, he still was not allowed to go into the land. What about Job's wife? She said, "Curse God and die." Boy, shame on her, huh? What about Nabal, whose name is a fool? Because of his bitterness and lack of charity, he literally had a heart attack. Nebuchadnezzar probably was a little ashamed when he found out that he had been eating grass for several years. Haman was terribly ashamed, threw himself at Esther because he had a plan to kill the Jews. And instead, he was hung in his place. And what about David? David was called a man after God's own heart. And yet, this was a man who sinned with Bathsheba, adultery, and he was a murderer, complicit to the murder of Uriah, even though, you know, he didn't pull the trigger, so to say. He was the one that ordered him to stand in front of the army in battle so that he would be struck down. And how many people are in prison today that would be ashamed or are ashamed because they murdered someone? How many abortionists would be ashamed for the thousands and thousands that they have murdered and yet feel no guilt to that, but they should be ashamed? And then there's Paul. Paul, who wrote 2 Timothy, and Paul, who persecuted and killed Christians. He did so out of ignorance, but then he saw the Lord Christ Jesus, and he saw the truth standing before him. And I'm sure that he was reminded of that during times of his life, the hope being that he could put that behind him and reach for the prize of the high calling, which he said. So let's take a look at 2 Timothy, and let's start with chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. This is Paul writing. He said, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Why isn't he ashamed? "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." In spite of what he had done, persecuting and murdering Christians for just being Christians, for just believing on Christ, he says here, "I'm no longer ashamed because I know whom I believed." He knew that he had been forgiven, as are we. So let's take a look at this word ashamed and look at some of the examples where people were either ashamed or not ashamed. And so let's go to Genesis in the beginning here, chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He's talking about Eve. "She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked," Adam and Eve, "the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." The word ashamed here has to do with blushing, or paling, being pale. By implication, ashamed. It says put to shame, to be confounded. Interestingly, it's to become dry, and I'm sure that has a different meaning than we would probably think of today. But they were not ashamed. So let's look at Psalms. I think maybe Paul might have thought about this verse when he wrote what he wrote above. But in Psalms 25, verses 2 and 3, "O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Paul was persecuted. He was persecuted because he had changed his tune in midstream and become a Christian, a believing Christian. But he said, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I believe. Jeremiah 2, verses 22 through 28. "For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness, that snuffed up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her, without thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go." So this is talking about Israel, obviously, and using the wild ass as a metaphor. "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. So they're talking about idolatry here. They took a stone, they carved it, they made it an idol, and then they worship it because that's who created them. A stone created them. Pretty sarcastic here. Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save me. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. So Jeremiah, being very, very sarcastic here about idolatry, saying, you know, how have these rocks, these trees that you've carved on, how have they brought you forth? And in the day of trouble, you're going to ask for them to save you? Not possible. I would say that they definitely would be ashamed for what they have done. But will they repent? We know that Israel multiple times has been told to shed idolatry and never did. They always came back to it, to their shame. In Mark chapter 3, New Testament, verses 34 through 38, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father and the holy angels. I guess if you believe that the Lord will appear to those of us as believers of the body of Christ, that we will appear with him, think of those who will possibly witness that, though it will be in the twinkling of an eye, there'll be a trump. How will they feel knowing, darn, I missed out? There was a TV series at one time called The Taken, and they're actually the ones that are left behind. How embarrassed they will feel, how ashamed they will feel for not believing as Paul did. Again, Paul talks about not being ashamed in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 28. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. I would say they're going to be ashamed of that. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to the dishonor of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Paul talks about he not being ashamed for the gospel and the good news of Christ because of those that believe. Those that did not believe, they're the ones that do these vile things. And just while this was written, you know, close to 2,000 years ago, think about what's going on in our world today that is exactly the same thing. People are not thankful. They have changed the truth of God. They have vile affections. They don't retain God in their knowledge. They have completely taken it out of the classroom. The woke philosophy. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty confident they'll be ashamed at some point. In Romans chapter 5, Paul's still writing, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The Greek word here, I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but it means disgrace. The word ashamed means they're disgraced. They are shamed. They are dishonored. It is literally that they would blush. And think about that. If someone pointed out something to you that you did that was wrong, you might blush at the moment. That's the shame coming through. That's the blood running to our head because of the physical response to something that is said or done. In Romans chapter 10, 11 through 17, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." It is the same Greek word. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And yet, in order to believe, they have to hear. In order to hear, there has to be someone telling them the good news of Christ. Those who are teaching or preaching, as we would say, whether it be on Pal Talk or whether it be in at work, your actions preach Christ, assuming that your actions are worthy and approved, and you know who you believe, and you are preaching only that. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 3 and 4. "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that say not ye shall be ashamed in this same confident boasting." So what he's saying here is that he's boasted about these individuals and what they've done and what they've given. But what if they came and were unprepared to receive them? And now he would be ashamed of his boasting about them. So being prepared is an important piece of not being ashamed. In 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 18, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Just the opposite of being ashamed is glad with exceeding joy. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of God and of Spirit and of glory, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Whereunto let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." If we suffer as a Christian, I believe that that time is coming. I believe that it is closer now than maybe ever before, and certainly in the last 200 years of this nation that was founded one nation under God. This nation was created by the four founders, and in order to be a member of the group that signed the independence, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, you had to be a Christian. And yet now we take it out of the schools and children are being told something different. The election that's coming up, without being political, which candidate can we honestly say we believe is following the will of God to be called, therefore, a Christian? One individual proclaims being a Baptist and a Hindu. How can you be both? I'll leave it to your judgment. Let's look at those books written by Paul after Acts 28:28, those that were written to us today. We call that Truth for Today, as the ministry is. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul is saying, whether I live or I die, I'm not going to be ashamed for Christ, because I know whom I believed. He had said that earlier. The Greek word here for ashamed is one that has to do with disgrace, to feeling shame for oneself. It's not about pointing fingers at other people. But Paul is saying, I will be ashamed myself if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. He had a ministry. He was not going to be ashamed by not following through on the purpose that God had given him, which was to go to the Gentiles and preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. "Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." This is Paul talking specifically to Timothy. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." This is a different Greek word, and it has to do still with shame, to feel shame. And again, that feeling would be that blushing, if you will. So I don't know if you've ever felt shame for something. I have often stories that I could tell you. You would be like, wow, you were really an idiot at one point, weren't you? Some of the things that I have said, and I have felt the shame after it came out of my mouth, because your face literally heats up and you blush for what you've said. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 13 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." In spite of the suffering he was having to go through due to being, quote, a Christian, for going to the Gentiles, and the Jews persecuted him, in spite of that, he says, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Paul is admonishing Timothy to hold fast to what he's learned specifically from Paul, not from others. Hold fast the form of sound words. There's another study in that. Last two references, we'll start in 2 Timothy 1, 14 through 18. So just continuing with what Paul's saying here to Timothy. "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." This Onesiphorus wasn't afraid of being jailed along with Paul when he visited him in Rome. He wasn't ashamed of Paul's beliefs for what he was imprisoned for. He wasn't ashamed of what Paul had been doing and what he had been preaching, and yet went to him at the risk of his own life. And I just wonder if we, at the risk of our own life, are willing to continue to teach the word rightly divided, as we started off this. Lastly, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we know these well. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they may strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun and profane vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." It's a different Greek word. It has to do with the irreprehensible, meaning not ashamed. We started with this verse, 2:15 of Timothy, 2 Timothy. We end with it. We will not be ashamed if we teach the word rightly divided. How many will be ashamed because they didn't? Because they didn't continue in the faith that was given to them. The number of individuals that I have met that have said that they believe in right division and yet don't rightly divide, because they don't see the chronology of when Paul wrote his books and what his purpose was at each stage. That's exactly what Ron is teaching on for the past year, is the different dispensations or different ministries, stewardships of Paul the apostle. And here Paul is saying, don't be ashamed to continue to rightly divide and to teach based on that. So my conclusion, and again, this is my thinking, is there a possibility for us to be ashamed? Yes. But our belief, our faithfulness, our obedience warns us of the potential shortcomings, and his faithfulness is sufficient to forgive those past sins of ours that we might be ashamed of. Because now we know, not out of ignorance, but out of the truth that Paul has given us, that our transgressions, our offenses, our old nature has been removed as far east as west. And there is no remembrance of them by God. Why are we dwelling on them? So, reach forward, go forward, don't look back. Don't be ashamed, because you know that you are approved unto God if you are a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, so thankful that you give us understanding. We have knowledge, we have understanding, and that creates wisdom that we can then hopefully help others to hear the word as we preach Christ. And though crucified, he lives on. That brings hope. And if we continue to be faithful because he was faithful, we will not be ashamed. And we are not ashamed because we know whom we have believed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name.